Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Mr. Reggie Smith. And Reggie has a story similar to mine. Had a lot of success in the business world. Five cars, big home. All those children graduating from high school, was able to give them vehicles as their high school graduation. And then through an investment opportunity, just kind of took a wrong turn. Was trying to get financing, and somebody actually took him for $7,500 when he was supposed to get an extended line of credit. Then he wound up making some unwise decisions, trying to cover his tracks like a lot of us have done. And then had to serve some time in federal prison. Did that for 2 years and 5 years. What did you call it, Reggie? That was
supervised release.
Supervised release. So if you missed all that, I want to encourage you to go and listen to the podcast. You can find that very easily on our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. And you'd be really encouraged by Reggie's story and just his humility and how God helped him through this tough, unexpected season of financial loss, then being in prison. But talk to us a little bit, Reggie. You know, 2 years federal prison. What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about God?
Well, I'd already known God, and I knew that I'd done something wrong. You always wonder, did I just mess up? Did I mess up my future, and did I mess up my opportunities for eternity with Jesus Christ? And I realized that isn't so at all. It's never too late to start over. And in prison, I found myself witnessing to people. I wrote a business plan for one of the prisoners who wanted to go out and do this drug thing again. And I said, no, you don't need to do that. You own all this property. Why don't you do this? And I sat down with him and went over that. I taught one gentleman how to read and write, that he didn't know how to do that. And I just spent my time helping people that were in there and helping them understand that God is good. Kind of living by example more than anything.
Well, I love that, Reggie, and that's, I think, such a great word. You know, we hear so many times about Paul writing letters in the Bible, you know, the books of the Bible that we read, and he was in prison. And so, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, my gosh, prison, and obviously it's not something you desired and nobody desires. But I think the good news is, just like it talked about when Joseph was in prison, I love where it said in the Bible in the Old Testament that, but God was with him. And so it sounds like you knew that God was with you even during those 2 years in prison.
Yes, I did. And I ended up comforting a lot of people, and a lot of people comforted me when I was in the down mood, because you can really get down in prison as well. And I just think that the things that I accomplished in prison, I'll never know the results, because you don't contact those people after you're out of prison. You don't know where they went or what happened to them. I just hope that what little I did some good.
Well, I think that's the exciting thing, Reggie. You're sitting here telling the story. Reggie's a guy that's got a $1 million smile. You'll see his picture on the podcast that'll come out, and man, just a great smile. But I think this is one of those things. You share stories like that, I'm sitting here thinking, Reggie, you know, like me, I've lost contact with some people that you had a small part of their life. But when we get to heaven, man, get to see some of those people. And I'm sure you remember that old Ray Bolt song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord."
Yes.
You know, I was a life that was changed, and we've had people do that in our lives, but we've also been fortunate to be a small part in a lot of other people's lives. So those are things excited to me when we get to heaven. I hope that, I believe that we're going to get to see some of those fruits from those conversations and those times with people.
Absolutely. And amazingly, we were in a huge choir at Northeast at one time, and we did a concert in Portsmouth, Ohio. I know nobody in Portsmouth, Ohio. And after the concert, a man was standing there with his mother and his daughter, in his one hand and the other, mother on one side and their daughter on the other. It was one of those men that I'd witnessed to, and we just broke out in tears.
Wow. It's still emotional for Reggie. Is you know, hey, it was a painful season, but it was also a good season there to see God's mercy and grace. And Reggie, also a talented singer, so I forgot to add that part to his repertoire of many talents, and just a wonderful, wonderful choir at Northeast. And so, you know, you tried to help serve God, and you did that well there, as you shared those stories with me before and with our listeners. But then reality hit. You get out. Your wife, you know, hey, I want a divorce. I don't want any part of it. You know, get your kids turned against you. So you're like, okay, I got to start over. And I think you said you were 55. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's a tough deal, man. That's a tough deal. So you decided to come to Lexington then. Is that right?
I did. And when you grow up in a small town and everybody knows you and you know everybody, you always have somebody talking behind your back. You've already destroyed your reputation, and there is not much forgiveness in a small town. Little Peyton Place type deal. And I said, there's no hope for me here. I really didn't see an opportunity. I worked selling cars for a while there, and when I went through the divorce, I just came to Lexington and started in the car, selling cars again, used cars. And that's probably the worst kind of car salesman you could be, as a used car salesman. But I did.
But you did what you had to do, man.
I had to provide for myself. I ended up being known in the car lot, on the car lot, as somebody that you didn't use foul language or dirty jokes around. I would just walk away and smile. And after a while, those people would just not say anything like that around me. And I just made a lot of friends that way. Actually, I ended up being a witness that I didn't realize I was a witness for, with some of those people that even call me to this day to check on me and see how I'm doing, because that had an impact on them too.
And I love that, Reg, what you just shared there, that, you know, I've heard a saying a few years ago that's really stuck with me, that more is caught than taught. And so you didn't necessarily say things to these guys or gals, usually I'm sure it was guys, but telling the offensive jokes and off-color statements and things like that. You know, you just smiled or walked away, and, you know, but they knew what your example was. So, you know, the thing I want to say to people right now that are listening as followers of Jesus, people are always watching, aren't they, Reggie?
Absolutely. And you have to live by example. If you don't live by example, if you do something wrong, then that gives people a bad light on you. So I'm always on guard. I made my one big mistake, and I know I'm going to make more. God tells us we're all sinners, and we're all going to make mistakes. But the first thing you do is ask for forgiveness, and He'll forgive us. And you can go out with a smile and know that you're forgiven. Just don't do it again. Some people think they can go out and just continue sinning and asking for forgiveness constantly and doing the same sins, but that's not what God tells us. He tells us that go and sin no more, and that's what we try to do, live our lives as an example. If we make a mistake, we apologize for it, we ask for forgiveness from God, and go on about our lives.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that I believe is really hard for people, is that they get stuck, you know, in the mistake. And, you know, the Bible, I love, they ask God for forgiveness. And the Bible says, you know, as far as east is to the west, that God remembers it no more. You know, yet I know that I've struggled with this at times, and I would think that you probably have too, as we've talked over the years, that sometimes even though we say we know God's forgiveness, occasionally we can get guilty of looking in that rearview mirror, or you and I are old enough to talk about when we have VHS tapes to hit the rewind button. And, you know, as a friend of my mom said, it's okay to visit there, but man, you can't set up camp there, can you?
No, you can't. And those, to me, those memories are the lessons. That's the way I live my life, is the things that I think about, and I think about them every day, is the mistakes that I made, and make sure I don't make them again. So my priority is to make sure that I treat everybody fairly. I don't make those same mistakes again. That's what I'm all about, and that's the way I live my life.
Well, you most certainly do, and anybody that meets Reggie, just, you know, knows that he cares about him. He's sincere. He loves him, and it's just one of those things that you know, when you met Reggie, you're like, all right, man, this is a guy that really cares about people. And I'm so thankful, because I say this all the time, but you're a guy that I think about it. I tell people that I heard, I think Rick Warren say it many years ago, but if we allow God, He never wastes a hurt in our lives, does He?
No. God doesn't ever want us to hurt. He always wants us to be happy and pleasant, but we hurt ourselves. We do it. Our own actions destroy us if we let it. And I always tell people, my real name is Riggled, and that's why I go by Reggie instead of Riggled. And I call Riggled royalty in the past tense.
I love it.
So I think of that, and that's my old life, the old royalty life, living on the side of a mountain, looking down over the hills, and living that glorious life that everybody looks at you and say, he's got it made. when you don't know that you're battling inside all the time.
Well, it is. That's a great point, Ray. It is a battle. It really is. And some days I get the better of it, and I repeat what God says about me. But Joyce Meyer wrote one of the best books I've ever read called The Battlefield of the Mind. And it's really in that mind, isn't it?
It is. Everybody wants to have the best of everything. And that's this cruel world we live in. We don't live in a simple world anymore. We live in a world that everybody wants all the material things, all the things that they can possibly get, and accumulate all of it for what?
Yeah. Yeah. As my hero Wayne Smith said, I've done a lot of funerals, but I've never done one with a U-Haul behind the hearse. You can't take it with you, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, tell us how you wind up getting in ministry, man. Share a little bit with us about that.
Well, I started out really as just kind of a Sunday school teacher with a singles class at Northeast, backing you up when you were with the singles ministry. And that just led on to more ministry, and everything that I did, it was involving ministry. Even when I worked as a controller for a group of hotels, I was ministering to two pretty rough characters. And when I lost that job, I just came to the church, and if you recall, I asked you just, how can I help? I'm fed up with the corporate world. I don't want to deal with that anymore. And I just volunteered for what was supposed to be 3 or 4 weeks, ended up being 6 months as just anything that needed to be done, cleaning the church, cleaning the toilets, whatever needed to be done, because the church was shorthanded at the time. And when they started out being a bigger church, when they were building that big facility that we have now, they asked if I would be willing to and want to serve as facilities director. So I did. I volunteered for that job and applied for it, and I've been at the church ever since.
Well, you most certainly have, man, and I will never forget, because you did come to me and just said, you know, man, I can't deal with this situation. People are lying and, you know, asking me to do things that I just know aren't God-honoring. And so it's a good job, a good paying job, but you know what? I'm just going to trust God. You stepped out, faith came, and I remember you had on a blazer and I believe a white turtleneck and khakis, dress pants, looking sharp as always, always a sharp-dressed man, as I said. One of the things I love about Reggie, and yet just amazing. I told him, like you said, the only thing I've got, man, right now is our guy that was supposed to, our custodian didn't call in, called in sick today. He's not here, so we need some help cleaning the bathrooms. And you said, all right, took off your blazer, rolled up your sleeves, and here it is, I think 16 years later, and you're the director of facilities, but you do so much more than that. So we're going to talk more about that, so I hope that you will tune in with us tomorrow and join us on Hope Is Here. My name's Greg Horn. If you missed this and you want to catch the rest of it, you can always go to our website and catch all of this program and yesterday's program of Reggie's powerful story. That is simply at hopeishere.today. I'm Greg Horn. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Reggie Smith on Hope Is Here.
Hi, I'm Tay Henderson, Executive Director of Lighthouse Ministries. In addition to serving meals twice a day to our hungry Lexington neighbors, we also provide shoes through our Michael's Feet Ministry. In June of 2014, I noticed that many of the people we were serving did not have adequate shoes. If they weren't duct taped together, there were holes in the soles. The day that a man named Michael approached me with scotch tape holding his shoes together, I knew I had to do something, and Michael's Feet Ministry was born. Now we are blessed to replace over 50 pairs each month thanks to individual donors and donating businesses through WJMM. Please consider being a part of this blessing. Each pair you give replaces a battered pair and helps a battered person know they are loved. Thank you.
For more information on Lighthouse Ministries, check out their website at lighthouselex.org or contact them by phone at 859-259-3434.